Christine, I appreciate that. Good song. Amen. I love singing from the heart. Amen. Singing from the heart. Praise the Lord. All right. Take your Bible tonight with me and go to the book of Matthew and chapter number 4 in your Bibles tonight. The book of Matthew and chapter number 4 in our Bibles tonight. This is the story of the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I find it to be one of the most fascinating passages of Scripture in all the Bible. When I read the Bible, I have an inquisitive mind as to what's going on. Why is this passage here? You know, the Bible says that God put everything in His Word for our learning. There's nothing in the Bible that we cannot learn from. And the whole Bible is for our learning. And that's why you shouldn't be a shallow Christian, amen? That's why you should know the whole Bible, the whole Word of God, amen? You know, when Mama makes dinner, we don't just eat the dessert, right? We eat it all. It's all good for us, amen? I saw my wife put a little ad on our little family chat that had a mama bird with two little baby birds. In it, the baby birds had their mouths wide open. And the mama bird said, "I know when you go to grandma, you get gummy worms, but at our house, you get real worms." Amen. And I think the Bible's like that too. Don't just enjoy the softer things or the things you like in the Bible, but dig deep in the Bible and find the true Word of God. Amen. Every passage has a power in it. So we're going to read this passage out of Matthew chapter 4 tonight, and trust you'll follow along, please, as I read. Begin with verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Jesus saith unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again, the devil taketh him up to exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, "All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then saith Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Let's pray tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you for the passage tonight that you put on our hearts tonight to speak and preach about. I pray, God, that Holy Spirit, your power and presence would meet with us. Lord, I'm nothing. I'm a human. But, God, we need you. Help them not to see me tonight. Help folks to see Christ tonight. Help us, Lord, tonight to open our hearts. And no doubt, even through a busy day or a busy week. But, God, we need bread from heaven tonight. And so we ask that you speak to our hearts. Open our hearts and our minds to thy word. And we'll pray these things in Jesus' name, amen. This passage of Scripture is often one of the most misunderstood passages of Scripture in the Bible. It's also one of the most interesting passages of Scripture in the Bible, because this is a face-to-face encounter of Jesus and the devil. Now, I'll tell you what. I'd have liked to have been a little ant under a rock and watch this take place, wouldn't you? I think this is probably one of the most interesting passages of Scripture in the Bible. But it's not just for our interest. It's to teach us something. It's to cause us to learn something about God. Man, I'm telling you what, there's a whole lot of things that can be learned about God in this passage of Scripture. You know, one of the things that intrigued me is that in the passage of Scripture, it seems like Satan is leading the Lord around. It seems like the devil is manipulating or moving Jesus at his will. I'll show you what I mean. Look at verse 5. It says, "Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city." Now, notice, the devil taketh him. I looked up that word taketh, and I thought, what does it mean when it says the devil took Jesus and led him out into the wilderness? And the word taketh is interesting. It means that he assumed authority over him. He said, all right, I got you. You just lead me. I'll just lead you, Jesus. I'm going to bring you up to the pinnacle of the temple. I'm going to bring you out into the wilderness. I'm going to run you around. You're going to do what I said. It was the devil assuming that he had authority over God. Now, that's interesting to me. And here's why it's interesting. It's because why would the Son of God allow the devil to lead him around? Why would he do that? Let me show you what else I mean. In verse 8, look at verse 8. "Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain." Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Who's taking who? The devil is taking Jesus up to a high mountain. Now, don't go forming any doctrines yet, okay? I'm not done with the points of the message. So stick with me. Why is it then that the devil could take him and bring him up into a high mountain? There's three places here in this passage of Scripture that Satan is tempting Christ. The first one was out in the wilderness when he was fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. The second one was in verse 5 in the holy city, which is probably Jerusalem. He taketh on put him on a pinnacle of the temple. And then the third one is verse 8, where Satan takes Jesus upon a high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world. Now, this somewhat baffles me as to understand why Satan would be allowed to lead God. Now, let me just say this. God is still God, and he is always going to be God, and Satan will never have control over him. Amen. The key to it is verse 1. Look at verse 1. Look at what it says. "Then was Jesus led up of" what? "The Spirit." Was it really the devil doing the leading? Wasn't the devil doing the leading? It was Jesus. The Spirit of God was leading Jesus. So it really wasn't the devil taking him. It was God in his power allowing the devil to bring him to these places. Now, why? Why? Don't forget that. By the way, the devil works powerful in this world. He's the prince of the power of the air. He has a certain amount of power in this earth. He walks about to and fro on the earth. He goes back and forth. You know what he's doing? He's trying to sink you and me. He's seeking whom he may devour. He is as a roaring lion, 1 Peter 5, verse 8. He's as a roaring lion. But may I tell you what? Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen. So don't think in this passage of Scripture that the devil was leading Jesus around. It was the Spirit of God moving and allowing this to happen for a reason and for a purpose. Okay? Now, let's look at each one. What were the purposes then? What is the purpose of Jesus being tempted? Now, the devil thinks he can capture anyone. But I want to tell you something. If you're saved here tonight, He cannot capture your soul.
Yeah, that's good.
He can try, he can defeat you, he can discourage you. But hear me tonight, if he can't get your soul, he wants to get your life so that your testimony is ruined and nobody else can get saved through your life. See that? Satan is always trying to work. If he can't get your soul, he's going to try to get your life. He's going to try to destroy your life. Boy, he's been successful at that, hasn't he? I wonder how many Christians are going to enter into heaven one day, either in death or the rapture, and they'll walk in and they will see all their rewards gone. Because although they're saved, they got to heaven but through the blood of Christ. But may I tell you what? When they got there, they lost all the rewards. By the way, you can't lose your salvation. You say, how do you know that? Because you never did anything to get it in the first place. It's Jesus gave it to you. John chapter 10 and verse 27 through 29. You are put in my Father's hand. No man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. You're there, whether you like it or not. They're there. You're in his hand. And who can open God's hand? Bible reminds us in Romans chapter 8, neither height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. The devil cannot get your soul, and you ought to wake up every day and thank God that he can't. Every morning deserves a time where we just stop and say, thank you, God, that your devil can't get me today. Amen. But you know, the truth is, the devil's working. He's already got a lot of people. According to Matthew chapter 7, many there are which are on their way to destruction. And there's only a few on the broad and narrow way. Thank God one day that Holy Spirit through a preacher spoke to our hearts. Or that soul winner knocked on your door. Thank God for that, because that was the catalyst that caused you to be convicted of sin and ask God to save you. Thank God for that. Amen. So what does the passage mean? What is it about? We know that the devil is going to be thwarted. The devil, anytime he goes against the Lord, he's going to be defeated. But I think there's five purposes that I want you to see and notice in the passage of Scripture that God wants us to see. Number one, first of all, Jesus is teaching us and demonstrating for us how to withstand temptation. He is our great example. When you, listen, whenever you have a trouble in your life, get in your Bible and find out what Jesus did. And when you do, pattern yourself after what he did, because he is your great example. He is your example. What did Jesus do? How did Jesus withstand it? Let's look. Notice verse number two, it says, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward in hunger. Now, why would Jesus be hungry? Because he took upon him the form, he was clothed in flesh. John 1:1, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was just as much God as he was man, just as much man as he was God. Now, you try to compute that and you'll come up with, does not compute at the bottom. It doesn't compute. But I want to tell you something. He was God. He was the God-man. He was just as much man as he was God. And so he hungered. Imagine going 40 days and 40 nights without food. I mean, how many of you would go without food until potluck on Sunday? That's just 4 days. I didn't see anyone raise their hand and volunteer. He was hungered. He genuinely was hungry. He led him out into the wilderness where there was no food. And then he looked at Jesus and he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. Notice what Jesus did. Verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written. It is written. Hey, those are wonderful words. It is written. Next time you go through a problem or a trouble and trial in life, it is written.
Amen.
It is written. Next time you think that you're going to plunge under, it is written. Listen, next time you feel like quitting going soul winning because nobody will listen to you, let me tell you something. It is written. Some will hear the word of God. Some will reject it. But hear me, somebody's going to listen to the word of God. It is written.
Amen.
It is written. When I go out soul winning, I may not be looking for all, but I'm looking for that one. Because there's somebody out there. There's somebody out there that you can reach. Thank God for that letter we received tonight from this dear lady sent us a text about her child. Listen, don't ever get discouraged soul winning. I want to tell you something. It is written. It is written. Next time you wonder how to live your Christian life, get in the book. It's written. See, Jesus is our example. He is our pattern in temptation. And when he was hungered, the devil came to him and he said, if you're the Son of God, if you're the Son of God, Jesus said, it's written. There's something already written. Long before you ever tempted me, devil, Jesus wrote something down in his word. Amen. Praise God. There's a new name written down in glory.
Amen.
And it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. Amen. Devil, you can't take that away. You ain't got an eraser big enough to erase that out of the book of life. Amen. It's written. Next time you go in temptation, learn how Jesus demonstrated to withstand it. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word. Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. By the way, I believe in the verbal plenary inspiration of Scripture. I believe every word of God is true. That's why people ought to quit messing with it. The old-fashioned King James Bible, I believe, is preserved. Every word is preserved of God in it. Man shall not. By the way, why would God tell us to live by every word and not allow it to be preserved, every word? Amen. He said, every word. When you think you're weak, just go to the word. It is the immediate source of strength and peace, and it will withstand temptation. The devil could not stand the word. When the devil hears the word, he's gone. When the devil hears what God wants to say, he's out of there. He leaves. Sometimes we don't use the word, and temptation gets a hold of us. But Jesus is teaching us to use the word of God. Do you know the word of God? Hey, listen, every Christian needs to get some scriptures that you know in your mind. You need some memorization. Find that area of your great weakness. Find that area where you find yourself weak from time to time. And get you some Bible verses on it.
Amen.
And quote them to the devil.
Amen.
Amen.
That's good.
I like Dr. Tom Malone was driving down the road one day and he just felt the devil getting all over him. Dr. Malone pulled his car over to the side of the road and one night in a Michigan highway, he opened his door, he went over to the other side of the door, opened the door, and he said, now get out. He said, I shut the door, got in the car, and had a wonderful time all the way home. Amen.
Amen.
Our problem is we think we can mess with the devil. He's too strong for us. We need to trust in the word.
Amen.
It's the pattern of Jesus. It's what Jesus did. He used the word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. And by the way, that teaches us that our spiritual food is more important than our physical food. Amen. Amen. Lord's trying to teach us something here. He's trying to demonstrate how to withstand. Verse 7. Notice Jesus saith unto him. Here's the second thing Jesus said unto him. It's written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. By the way, those who try to say that Jesus was not God, how are they going to deal with that passage of Scripture? Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe Jesus was the Son of God. They don't believe he was God. They believe he was a creator, created by God, made by God. May I tell you what? He wasn't. He was the Son of God. Amen. The sinless Son of God. And Jesus said, you can't, don't tempt the Lord your God. What did the devil do? He fled. He fled. See, I think that Christians ought to be spiritually minded enough to know when we are being tempted. Did you catch that? A Christian needs to be spiritually minded enough to know when he's being tempted. I find that sometimes a Christian, they can't recognize the temptation. And then I wonder, have they been in the Word? Have they listened to the preacher? You know, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I go home and I scratch my head and I say, did the teenagers listen to what I just said tonight? Didn't they really listen? Amen. Did anybody catch what I was teaching tonight? Sometimes a preacher wonders that. Sometimes every preacher I know wonders that. Because such human nature. But I'm going to tell you something. We need to be spiritually minded enough to understand when the devil's tempting us. Amen. Notice the third thing Jesus did. Chapter 4, verse 10. The devil comes to him and he says, all the kingdoms of the world I'll give them to you. Well, who was he to give any kingdom of the world? He didn't own any kingdom of the world. Jesus was wise to the tactics of Satan. Verse 10, he said, then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Ah, do you know what Satan wants? He wants worship. He wants worship. He wants little by little for us to really not worship God with our heart, but to allow our heart to drift, to get backslidden. Just little by little, miss church here and there, and then before long, we're completely out because we couldn't recognize the old devil was tempting us. And down the road, the life of that Christian ends up worshiping Satan. They may be saved, but their life is living a life that's worshiping Satan. I don't want to be in that category, friend. Amen. And you don't either. You don't want to be that kind. Jesus gave us the answer. He said, I'm going to worship God. Hey, listen, I'm going to be in church. When I go out into the world, I'm going to honor God. I'm going to worship God. When I look at nature, I see God. I see God, not evolution. Thou shalt serve, worship the Lord and Him only. You know, when you're serving God, there's no room for anything else. Amen. I said, when you're serving God, there's no room for anything else. Amen. Worship Him and Him only. See, God wants to be number one in our life, our one and only. This is what Jesus did. He showed us how to withstand it. He used the word. He understood Satan's tactics. And number three, He made himself to be sure he worshiped and served the Lord God. Amen. Worship and serve the Lord. Just stay with it. Amen. Hey, you know that old devil, he'll get under your skin sometime and kind of get you critical, kind of get you unhappy. Something will trigger you or somebody will trigger you. We're all human. We're all flesh. That's going to happen from time to time. But if you don't recognize that's the devil just trying to get under your skin, then he will wiggle his way in a little deeper. Before long, you'll be out of church. Your life won't be serving the God. You'll be serving that old devil. Very sad when it happens, but it does. It does. So give God your life. Make him number one. Put God at the most high place in your life. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Jesus withstood this temptation to demonstrate to us how to do it. Number two. The second thing this passage shows us is to show us Satan he does not possess all power. Now, you know what I love about church? Church should be the kind of thing that the devil is like, I can't go there. I don't want to mess around over there. Those people love God too much for me to mess around. They sing the praises of God. I can't stand that. That's what the devil says. I try tempting them. They just quote scripture to me. You know, the devil needs to know in your life that he doesn't have power. Amen. He needs to know that God has all power in your life, and it's being demonstrated by God in your life. Satan needs a punch in the nose every once in a while. And that's why I like times when we see somebody saved or somebody's out there doing free Bibles and someone gets saved from those things. Man, praise the Lord. Pow, take that, devil. Satan needs to understand he does not have all authority, and he does not have all authority in your life. Thank God he doesn't. Amen. When I got saved, I let Jesus control my life. And I can't say he's always controlled my life. But I can tell you this much. I know that Satan does not have all control and power in this world. He thinks he does. And in the passage of Scripture, if you can kind of see where Satan's coming from, he actually assumes that he has power. He thinks he's big stuff. But notice what happened in the last verse, verse 11, after Jesus said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Notice what he did in verse 11. Then the devil leaveth him. He got out of there. He hightailed it out. I like it when the devil leaves. Amen? I like it. You know, sometimes a person will get a bad spirit. They'll get a bad spirit towards somebody. But they recognize it. They recognize it. And they go to God and say, God, I was wrong. Forgive me. And they make that spirit good and right again. Or maybe they've wronged somebody. You know, sometimes the hardest thing to do is to admit you're wrong. I didn't get any amens on that one, so I'm going to have to say that one again. Right? It is true, though, isn't it? Sometimes it's the hardest thing to do is to admit we were wrong. But we're not always right. Nobody is. And we need to have a kind of heart that recognizes, oh, that's the old devil getting in there. And if he gets it in there before long, he'll run my life. And Satan's ran many lives. But if we'll follow how Jesus demonstrated the power to withstand Satan, then what we're telling Satan is, you have no control in my life. You have no power in my life. Amen. Satan needs to get the message that God is in control of our life. Amen. Amen. Number three, there's a third thing I think this passage is showing. Are you still with me? The third thing is to show us how truly powerful Scripture is. I think we don't really understand how powerful Scripture is. I don't think we do. I don't think we understand how powerful it really is. But you see, if you read the book of Acts and see the early church and the disciples go out, and everywhere they went, they preached the gospel, people came to Christ. They went into hard places and tough places. Even Paul and Silas were in jail. When they were in jail, the prison bars, I can't speak tonight, sorry about that. The prison bars burst open. They walked out. They were singing the praises of God. And what happened? The Philippian jailer said, "What must I do to be saved?" How did he get to that place? They were singing the word of God, singing the praises of God. The word of God had more power than what you and I realize. Listen, we have no idea until we get to heaven what those tracts that we put out are going to accomplish. You have no idea. One of the things I look forward to is when I get to heaven, somebody walking up to me and say, "Thank you for leaving that tract. And I never even knew. I never even knew that they got saved." But the Word of God is powerful. It's not our charismatic ability that sees people saved. It's the power of the Word of God that changes lives. And this passage of Scripture demonstrates it, because as soon as Jesus said, it is written, the devil said, "I think I better try another tactic." The Word of God is too powerful for Satan. Number four, this passage of Scripture is to reveal how Satan twists Scripture. You know, Satan twists Scripture here in verse 6. Notice verse 6 again. It says, "And saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written." Now, wait a minute. Here Satan is giving his twisted version of Scripture. Notice what he says. "It is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against the stone." Now here's the twist. The answer is that this promise is true in the Word of God. But God never promised this truth or the protection of angels in any way, shape, or form when it comes to doing sinful ways or for listening to Satan. What the devil is trying to do is he's trying to twist Scripture. Boy, the devil's good at twisting Scripture. You know, it's easy to twist Scripture unless you have some mental understanding of how to rightly divide the Word. You can take a passage of Scripture out of context and make it say anything you want. And the devil loves that, because people get off on doctrinal error when that happens. And when doctrinal error happens, 9 times out of 10, it perverts the gospel and twists the gospel of the Word of God. And that is Satan's tactic. He loves to twist and pervert the Word of God. I heard a preacher preach one time. He said, "You could take the verse about the devil." I just lost my train of thought right there. Amen. Maybe the devil made me do that. I know what it was. He said, "You could take the verse, Judas went out and hanged himself, and then add to it another verse, go thou and do likewise. And you come up with a very wrong conclusion." But can I tell you something? Satan is the master at twisting Scripture. Be careful not to form doctrines off of one or two verses. Understand the scripture in its context and in the whole of the Bible. Because if you don't, you will enter into doctrinal changes, errors. You will be all messed up. See, what we need is solid Bible teaching and solid Bible preaching anymore. That is what reveals the twisting of Scripture. That is what brings to light the devil's tricks. The preaching, the solid Bible preaching of the Word of God shows light on Satan's deceptions. Amen. So I say to you today, keep on preaching the Word of God. Keep on preaching the truth. You say, preacher, how long are you going to keep preaching? Hopefully to the day I die. I want to be preaching on a Sunday night, fall over dead, and have my funeral here Monday morning. Wouldn't bother me. Amen? Hey, I want to tell you something. The truth of the Word of God must be understood always in the context of the passage of Scripture. Satan loves the twisting of Scripture and the taking of verses and putting them out of context. He loves it. And we have to beware of that. One more thing I want you to see. I want you to see what happened here. The fifth thing, and the last thing I want to give you tonight, is I believe the passage of Scripture shows us the work of angels. The work of angels. Now, I want to tell you, there's a lot of spooky, crazy ideas about angels. Some of you probably heard them. Maybe you have an aunt, and boy, she's got 8 million angels, and there's always some weird idea about angels. Now, let me tell you something. God made man a little lower than the angels. The angels do not know sin, and they do not know what it's like to be forgiven. They don't know the grace of God. So what is the purpose of the angels? I'm going to hit these real quickly. Number one, they minister in a time of need, according to Acts chapter 12, verses 7 through 11. Secondly, they often find that they carry some to heaven in death, according to Luke chapter 16 and verse 22. That's the story of the rich man. The rich man died, and so did Lazarus, and Lazarus was carried to heaven by the angels. Amen. That's one thing that an angel does. I'm reminded in this passage of Scripture what happened in verse 11. It says, when the devil left them, verse 11, then the devil leaveth them, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Angels have a purpose of ministering to God's people. They are at the command of God. It is God that instructs an angel, and an angel comes with a message. Angels are messengers of God. Angels are messengers of God. Fourthly, they obey God's will, according to Psalm 103 and verse 20. Fourthly, they fulfill God's purposes, according to John chapter 5 and verse 4. And I like this one. Go to Revelation chapter number 5 tonight. The book of Revelation chapter number 5. And let me say, I thank God for the angels, and I believe there are ministering angels. But don't get so focused on an angel that you lose sight of who sends the angels. He is the God. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. Focus on Him. Revelation chapter 5, look at verse 11 and 12. Notice here, this is what we're going to hear of the angels. Man, I can't wait to see this. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Now, if you're from the South, you can interpret that by saying, that's a whole bunch. Amen. Amen? That's a whole bunch of angels right there. Saying, verse 12, with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Can you picture millions of angels standing around the throne of God? And who are they pointing to? Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And he is worthy to receive honor and glory, riches, all of these things. He is worthy. See, angels sing. Angels have a duty, according to God, to sing the praises of God. They lift up their voice. And man, I'll tell you what, there's nothing like a choir that sings a beautiful, beautiful song. But can you imagine a million angels around singing the throne of God? See, the Bible teaches us an understanding of angels, who they are, what they do, and the purpose that they have. But don't ever confuse it. They're always ready to honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and to honor Him. You know, I from time to time I hear somebody saying, I saw an angel. I saw this. You know what I want to say? Have you seen Jesus? Amen. Amen. Have you seen Jesus? Because that's what the angels are looking at. They're honoring the Lord Jesus Christ. Their focus is on Him and doing His will in this life. So I say to you today, there is a purpose of angels, even in the life in which we are living today. But remember something, it's not an angel who died and shed his blood on the cross for you and me. Don't take the idea of angels and go to spooky land with it. Take it for a Bible understanding of the purpose of an angel and what they do and what God has for them to do. Because I think there's times when we may not even know it. And the Bible tells us sometimes we entertain angels unawares. You never know. You never know where's an angel. You never know. You say, preacher, that's getting a little spooky. Hey, I'm staying in Scripture. That's what Scripture says. That's the Word of God. And I'm thankful that this passage of Scripture is in the Bible because of these five things that it teaches us and explains to us of the power, the glory, and the majesty of God. Devils couldn't get him. The devil tried. He thought he could assume authority over him. He thought he was leading him around. But who ended up leaving in the end? It was the devil. Thank God for the truths of the Word of God. Thank God we serve a God who cannot ever be touched or intimidated with Satan, his power, his work, his will. Our God is the true God and the living God. Amen. Let's bow our heads tonight. Let's close our eyes.